In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, the gospel that we heard today, one of the Lord's many manifold teachings on man's relationship to his material possessions. We know that one-third of the Lord's parables dealt with this subject, and one-sixth of his overall teaching dealt with man's relationship to the earth. And of all of the Lord's teachings, perhaps, these are the more difficult ones to hear and certainly to preach on. You know, the gospel is a heavy book, and it's heavier on days like today. Yet, it is the Lord's teaching, and it's not meant to burden us. It's not meant to weigh us down, to make us downcast or sad-faced, as we spoke about last Sunday. But the gospel is meant to turn everything around and to make us happy, to fulfill us, to lift us up, to help us enter into that kingdom. Now, when we hear about this man, this person who's called a fool by God, we often think, what was so foolish about him? Wasn't he a worker? Wasn't he an industrious type of person? Didn't his crops kind of produce manifoldly? Didn't he have everything that we kind of pray for and ask for, God's material blessings? What was the problem? You know, I think if we evaluate this man, we might say that he was actually pretty wise because he had all of this produce and he decided, well, I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm going to put up bigger barns. I'm going to store it. And I'm going to provide for my future. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy a little bit of it. Right? You might say, well, what's so bad about that? Why is God calling him a fool? You know, I think we would say he's wise, right? Go to any financial advisor, somebody who's into wealth management, they say, that's what you do, right? You'd be a fool not to do that. You'd be a fool not to do that. And yet, of course, as we spoke about last Sunday, that our wisdom is foolishness with God, and his wisdom seems like foolishness to us. You know, this parable seems very negative. It really does. Because the guy messed up, and he lost his immortal soul. And sometimes when we think about our Christian life, we think about it in that negative way. You know, that we're kind of doomed to failure. If we just do what is common sense, and kind of will be punished by that, and God is unfair to us, and it's all about what we can't do, you know, all these things we shouldn't do, thou shalt not, you know, all these kind of rules and regulations that stop us from just living life, because we think about our Christian faith that way. And of course, this is characterized as sad-faced Christianity. But our understanding of Christianity in the Orthodox Church is very different. That it's not about what we can't do or what we shouldn't do. It's about what we can do and what we ought to do. It's not about the negative, but it's about the positive. I want to share with you two saints that come to mind this week. One of them is St. John the Merciful, and the other is this monk Vitalis. And they were contemporaries. We've spoken a little bit about St. John the Merciful before. I'll just quickly refresh you. Now, St. John the Merciful was from the 7th century. He was born in Cyprus. His father, Epiphanius, was the governor of Cyprus. He was of nobility. And he was advised by his family to marry. He didn't want to marry. He followed the advice of his parents. He was married. He had some children. And early on in life, his children died. Lost his children. And his wife then later died afterwards. And he was left alone. And he decided that he would take this sorrow, this tragedy, and all that negative stuff and turn it around into something positive. That he would rededicate himself to God and to keeping his commandments and the religious life. And he sought prayer and fasting and asceticism. And he developed himself spiritually. And he was chosen then to become the next patriarch of Alexandria. Next patriarch of Alexandria. Everyone knows that's a high position in the church. And he was chosen because not just of his earthly nobility, but because of the spiritual nobility that he received by the grace of God. And he goes to the city of Alexandria, and he comes there with an agenda. Sometimes we think, you know, when clergy arrive at a new place, they shouldn't come with an agenda. Well, he came with an agenda which was set by the Lord. He came with the Lord's agenda, which is to preach the gospel, to care for the poor, to heal the sick, right? To do all of those things that we're called to do in the Christian life. He came to Alexandria and he found a lot of problems. One of the first things that he did is he sent out his co-workers, his servants there at the administrative offices, and he sent them out and he said, give me a big long list of all the people who are in financial difficulty, all of those people who are poor. Oftentimes when the bishops come to a new see, they want to know the list of the big donors who's going to support their projects. He found out who the poor people were. And every Wednesday and every Friday, he would go out of the cathedral and he'd sit there on the steps and he'd hear the cases of who needed help, of who needed to have disputes resolved, of who just needed to talk and be encouraged in their Christian faith. And he would do this on Wednesdays and Fridays. He would then also visit the sick 3 times a week. We'd go to the different hospitals and hospices there. And he ministered to these poor people, so much so that people actually accused him of wasting the church's money. They said, you know, the church has limited funds here. You're kind of new here. Slow down a little bit. It's not how we do things here. But he increased the offerings to the poor. And you know what happened? The treasury also increased. That people saw the church operating as it should, and they were inspired by that. And they wanted to be part of that. And they gave to the church. Not because of compulsion, but because of inspiration. And St. John had this famous saying, who's going to win in the giving contest? The church is giving to the poor, or God giving to his church? You know, we've spoken a lot about St. John in the past, and I don't want to dwell too much on him, but I will say, one thing that came up during his tenure as Patriarch of Alexandria, there was a scandal that happened in the city of Alexandria. What happened was this monk from Gaza, which is, you know, Palestine, modern-day Israel, he came from Gaza to Alexandria, and he came with an agenda. And the agenda was that he was going to work during the day, and at night he was going to hire prostitutes. And this was a monk. And this was a great scandal for the city of Alexandria. And people were, you know, upset, rightly so. They brought it to the ears of St. John, to the patriarch. And he permitted it to go on. He said, don't do anything to this man. In fact, leave him alone. Time passed, and he kept about his ways. Every day he'd go to work. Every night he'd have a different prostitute. And it so happened that somebody decided this has got to stop because this is a scandal to the church. So they took the law into their own hands, so to speak, and they took a rock and they hit this monk on the head. And he started to bleed and went back to his dwelling and he knelt in prayer. And he wrote something. And I'll read to you what he wrote. He wrote, and this was found by the people who came and saw him dead there, having been killed from this blow to the head. He wrote, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord will come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. You know, a wonderful thing happens when they have the funeral for this monk. Wonderful thing. All of those prostitutes who he had given money to, they came and they assembled at this funeral. And the funeral was well attended by these women. And they told their story, a story that he had forbidden them to tell until after he had reposed. And the story was this, that money that he worked for during the day, he came and he brought it. And he gave it to the prostitutes and he said, I'm going to hire you for tonight. And that night, he took the prostitute to his dwelling where he went to her place of business, closed the door, and spoke with her. And so tonight, you're being paid not to sin, but to try something different, to try something positive. And they prayed, and they spoke about God, and they spoke about what life is really about. And these women, not all of them, but many of them, were not only saved from sin that one night, but their whole lives were changed. They decided to get married. They decided to enter monastic communities. They turned their lives around. Now, when we look at this monk who created this scandal, we say, well, he could have gone about it a different way. And perhaps maybe he could have. But we aren't the people to judge. But God is the one to judge. You know, in the life of St. John the Merciful, he was judged by the charity that he showed through the church. I'll give you some, there's some, you know, kind of flamboyance, if you will, seemingly misuses of funds. I'll give you an example. There was this group of ladies that were in line to meet with him on one of these Wednesdays and Fridays, and they received their six coins. Then they went and they changed their garments. They got in a disguise. They came back again, got six more coins. They came back a third time, and Pedro John's assistant said, look, these are the same ladies. They're coming back a third time. He gave them double. And we might say, well, that's enabling kind of this is fraud. And yet, St. John knew that God would judge. That those people had received this money in good faith, and they were responsible for that in good faith. And God would hold them accountable. You know, we celebrate today, on this day, St. Gregory the Wonder Worker. And in his life, he was a man of charity as well. There was one case where he was traveling down the road, and he came upon these four men. And these four men had met in advance and decided they were Jews, they were not Christians, and they decided they were going to put to shame this Gregory the Wonder Worker, this man who everyone had esteemed very highly. And they decided that one of them in their party would strip himself half naked and lie down dead, seemingly dead on the road. And that the others would ask Gregory the Wonder Worker to help him. And that happened, and Gregory came, took off his cloak, and he gave it to the men, and the men covered the body as they're supposed to do. And Gregory went on his way, and all the men were laughing. They were laughing. You know, we have shown that this Gregory the Wonder Worker is a fool. He's a fool. And then they went to their guy who was laying dead, said, you can kind of come up now, you can knock it off, it's over. But he didn't get up. In fact, he never got up. He died. The man died because God is not mocked. God is not mocked. He is the judge. You know, we're given wonderful opportunities in our Christian life, in our Orthodox Christian life. That God doesn't come and demand things of us. He doesn't take things from us. He doesn't just hold us down and oppress us with rules and regulations. What he does is he gives us opportunities for a better life, a life more abundant. You know, when we think about finances, we think about money, sometimes we think of it only in a negative way. But what we can't do, what we can't spend our money on, how we can't save and store up, which, by the way, we can save and store up. St. Maximus the Confessor, he gives one reason that's acceptable for saving money and for storing money. It's so that we don't run out of money ministering to those who are entrusted to our care. So that we don't run out of money for the glory of God, for the benefit of our neighbor, to practice love. That money and wealth has a very positive aspect to it. St. John the Merciful understood that. And he lived a transcendent life, a wonderful life. This monk, Vitalis, knew that. His life wasn't so wonderful. He was ridiculed and outcast. He was considered somebody who was a man of sin, of ill repute. So John Patriarch was a fool. This guy was a man of ill repute, according to worldly standards. But worldly standards also said the rich guy in the parable is wise. He knows what he's doing. And yet everything is reversed. Everything is reversed. But then, sisters, we have before us the opportunity to do whatever it is we want to do with our lives. Whatever it is that we want. Positive, negative, neutral. It's all open to us. God demands nothing of us. But he gives us opportunities. He gives us teaching. He gives us inspiration. And he asks us to seek that which is better. To put aside the judgments of the earth and to trust him. To believe in him. To keep his ways. Because he will reward us. He will bring us to better places, to better things. He'll bring us to his heavenly kingdom. What would it be like if we all approached our finances in that manner? That our work, when we went to work every day, we should work. We should be working and industrious people. That what if we consider that money that we raise is for the glory of God? For caring for people entrusted to our care. For ministering to the poor. For helping people in need. What if that were our focus? What if we stored up money so that we had money to give? I think all of us are inspired by this. All of us desire this to some level. I'll leave you with two things. Two things that we see in the lives of these two saints. The first is, they had this good intention. They had this good desire for a better life. And I think we all have that. The second thing that they had, which made them saints, was they had not just intention, but they had follow-through. That they not just heard the word of God, but they kept it. Right? They practiced it. They did what they were inspired to do. And by doing so, they were changed. And they inspired other people to change. We're talking about them, we're inspired by them, because they actually did it, not because they thought about it. Not because they talked about it, they preached about it, but because they actually did it. Brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity for a wonderful life. God inspires us to it. Let us actually walk that path. Let us take hold of that life. Let us enter into that heavenly kingdom. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.